Come here, I want to tell a little story
on
him. Right after I came here to pastor, how many years has it been? 11, 12, something like that. It's been about that long. I married Harry and Nina. Yeah. And Harry was interested in hunting and interested in bow hunting. This is all legal now.
Okay.
And
I wasn't sure which story you used to have.
Yeah. And I had a bow, so he took me out, showed me how to shoot it. We went out in the woods at some land he had down here in southern Fulton County, and first crack out of the box, I killed a deer. Now, he's going to tell you a big story about a baby deer and all that.
Still had but, milk around its lips.
But I haven't been hunting with that since. I had my sickness and everything, but I'm getting to feel well. I'm getting to feel like I think I could do it again. All I need for you to do is to be here every Sunday and help me out like that, and I think I'll make a better hunter.
All right.
You taught me how to be a hunter. I think you can help me out.
All right.
Okay. God bless you. You can go now.
Well, I thought that's what you meant. Did I untie that
rope? Yeah. Okay, folks. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard a lot of concern expressed about churches not doing what they're supposed to do. But we have stubbed our toe a little bit. We've lost a lot of people to death. Some people, I don't know where they are, but thank God the ones here sounds like church to me. The singing, the greet, the handshakes. People say, you know, friendly churches. I don't know why they say that. They've not been to our church, I don't guess. We're so friendly, we not only shake your hand, we'll give you a job to do. Let you be one of the family. Adopt you right in. They'll pass out the paperwork and Trudy will fill it out. Your name will be on the roll. And first thing you know, you'll be going on a mission trip, right? Let's pray. We need to pray. D.L. Moody said, help us to work like everything depended on us and pray like everything depended on God. Dear God Almighty, this sermon maybe is not the one we would love to have preached, but it's one that's needed to be preached. Help me with my understanding and my biblical thoughts that have been graven in my mind to put this together that we might touch hearts and lives. And Lord, we love people. And we don't feel that we want to disturb people or make them angry, but I will not, as I've promised you, I will not back up. I will not tone it down. I will not shut up. I'll not give up. I'll stay by the stuff, the old-fashioned stuff that got us here, born again, gospel straighter than a gun barrel, heaven high and hell hot. Help me to preach it always that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you heard Woody read the scripture there. One of the things you noticed in that passage of scripture, put that back up on the board there, screen, Jason, was the parents are the first and primary responsible ones for their child's spiritual education. We can blame church, we can blame Sunday schools, but if parents are not doing their job, not much else is going to matter. Notice he said after the first thing he said there was that we should have love for God. The Ten Commandments start out with that. If you get that first commandment right, you won't have any trouble with the rest of the commandments. When you have trouble with some place in God's Word or something the preacher says, and you're all miffed about it, you're all upset about it, go back to that first commandment. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Somebody makes me mad and I stay home, I didn't love God. I didn't get elected, something I wanted to do makes me mad, not going. You didn't love God. You loved yourself. We got so many picayune problems, we can't get to the real problem because we want to deal with all the stuff out here. It's not what goes on up front, it's what goes on in your heart. So he said, teach it to your children. Verse 6, and these words which I command this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them. What's the next word, church? Yeah, think about that. The truth is, transgender stuff and all that kind of stuff would never have been here if parents had been teaching diligently. One man, one woman, no sexual get-togethers and have fun before marriage. It's a marriage thing that God instituted. The Supreme Court didn't institute it. The president didn't institute it. Nobody else decided, and many of our countries don't. But we have the Bible. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. That means do it regularly. That means to do it forcefully. That means to do it authoritatively. When you pick up the Bible and start teaching or preaching or giving someone something from the Bible, it is the authority above all authorities. There's nothing in this world that is higher. It's higher than the Constitution. The Constitution was based on what was in this book. So we need to understand that. Our responsibility is to teach our kids. And he tells us how to do it diligently. Make it like a sign. I don't know how many of you ever worked mules or horses, but I did. And you take them out in the field especially, and we plowed our corn, we'd get up that high. Or you put a muzzle on the horse, you put blinders on his bridle so he could just go straight ahead. That's the way he said to teach the Word of God. So it guides our children when they get in college and high school and some half-wit graduated from some know-nothing school or some school that was once a big name and now is full of lies and evolution, and he's trying to say, well, is this stuff right or wrong? They're saying it's right. He's got those frontlets, the Word of God, and he knows to march straight ahead and not deviate to the right or the left. So we're going to talk this morning about three levels of love. We talked about God's love. The English language is failing in a lot of ways because we have one word for love and it means all three of these things. And you kind of figure out, but I think we get mixed up. The three are right there for you. The three Greek words. Eros, which refers to a physical love. Philos, you know, when they instituted and started Philadelphia, you know, it was once our United States capital. And it was once the capital for the state. They moved the state capital to York, and they finally moved it to Harrisburg. But when they put in Philadelphia, it meant the city of brotherly love. We sure got something now, don't we? One of the highest ranked cities in murders. You know why? Because we took God out of it. We don't need another Liberty Bell. We need God back in our schools, back in, we didn't even need him back in the churches. We could solve a lot of problems if we just get people back in church. But they're doing everything they can to close the church. So it means warm affection or friendship. And then that great love, agape, is the sacrificial, unconditional love of God. Okay? So when you're talking to people and you're trying to figure out how you're going to love some scoundrel, some bad person, when God said, love the world, the Bible says, God so loved the world. A different word. Different words altogether. Let's look at Eros first. This is a level of love is more of a physical form of love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. That's a whole different, and notice we don't have get started, practice marriage in a shack-up job. It's not in the Bible, folks. Oh, I want a preacher that preaches straight. Well, I don't know why you talk about that stuff in church, because it's in the Bible. And it's the root and the foundation of our problem. When I was standing in a public school teaching, I got to take a survey of one class I had, and over 10% of my class did not live with their real parents anymore. They were born in this home. She got married to somebody else or lived with somebody else, and he went to another home of one of those parents, and he didn't know who to call daddy and who to call mama. Herein lies, folks, herein lies our problems. We can talk about the big stuff up here. We can talk about it all day long. It's the results of that kind of stuff. When we've broken down the home, nothing more than a restaurant to feed the kids and a place to come and sleep sometimes, we're in trouble. America was built on homes. A church is built out of homes. And when we don't have homes, we don't have any foundation. We need the solid rock. Upon that rock I stand. We need a mama and a daddy that know how to discipline, that know how to say no. We don't say, go ask your dad, go ask your mom. We say, no, you're not doing that. You're going to stay with me all day today and watch what I do. And make a decision before you come to me and tell me you're going to get married. Are you really ready for this? This is part of the important institution that you're going to help build. And how are you going to work? What kind of job you got? How are you going to feed them? Or are you going to run to the Goodwill store and the Goodwill church and the government giveaway program? Who do you think pays for those things? The people that do work. The home is the bedrock. And it's not going to be if the husband don't love the wife and the wife don't love the husband the way that God said to. Notice he said to husbands, you're to love her like we love the church. The only thing that's higher than that is love for God. God said that in his word. He said, you can't be my disciple. If you're gonna be wanting to spend all this time with your wife and not spend the time with God, God said you can't be my disciple. Many have been turned back. The rich man got turned back because he loved his money. When he looked at him, he was pure. He was wonderful. Jesus said, what a man. What a man. He said, I keep all the Ten Commandments from my youth up. Jesus said, but one thing you lack. You love your money more than me. And therefore, you cannot be my disciple. And the Bible says he went away sad. You'll never be happy without God ruling and reigning his love in your heart and you loving him. You'll never be happy. You'll be running to everything, trying to be a part of everything, and not really knowing what you're a part of. Love. Love. Not the hippie love. Not the love that will help you destroy your life with drugs and premarital sex and all that, and leave babies crying with mommy or daddy. And a kid that's raised up with 10 different parents doesn't know who he is, who he belongs to, where he's to have his loyalties. My dad used to say to me, John, blood's thicker than water. And I knew what he meant. You owe allegiance to this house more than you owe allegiance to somebody else's house. Then we see the second love we talked briefly about, philos. It's a level of love is one that we ought to have toward friends, family, and pretty much everyone else. Because we're to love the whole world. We're to love them. It's the love that Jonathan had with David. Jonathan's dad was king, but he really loved David. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Another verse says, love conquers sin. Love conquers sin. Love will cover a multitude of sins, it says. We need to do what God says. We could get rid of doctors. We could get rid of counselors. My, everybody's got a counselor. And I know in this world we need to have some counseling with a good Christian friend, somebody that knows how to pray, somebody that knows how to talk to God, somebody that knows the Word of God. But my gracious, when we got to be in and out of clinics for drug overuse, and now the big thing is, I was hearing a guy talk about it yesterday, that we're going to drug feed you and wean you off of it. Well, it's too much of a shock. Well, they need a shock. I was a drunk, and the only way I got rid of it was quit. I quit. I remember that first summer, I'd go by the television, be playing a ball game. Next thing I know, guy comes out playing music, girls half dressed, beer, to drink this beer. I had to get up and walk out of the room, man. I was looking for my chewing. I had trouble smoking. I'd chew a pack of chew gum in 2 minutes and get another one. I'd go to the cigarette machine, get out a pack, light one up, throw it back in the pack away, walk another block and get another one. I was half crazy, but I quit with God's help. God said, you and me's going to do this, and we did it. For long, Harry, till they called me to teach Sunday school class. I was in a Sunday school class. They said, John, why don't you just teach this class? After I taught a few times, one of the guys came up and said, you know what? I think you ought to be preaching. Wasn't long till the preacher said, I'm going to be going this Sunday night. How about you preaching for me? We had a pretty good sized church up in Dayton, Ohio. And they did a radio program. Had lights here. The red light come on, get ready, straighten your tie. Green light come on, go. And I started. Buddy, I had notes. I had a book of them. In 5 minutes, I had it all going. I'm standing there. I'm shaking. I look down. My britches legs were shaking. I cleared my throat. Tried another stab at it. Did it again. I said, now that's a pretty good induction. I think we can preach. And I laid my notes aside and started at it. Listen. There's people sitting here probably God wants you to be a missionary. God wants you to be a preacher. God wants you to be in the choir. God wants you to teach a Sunday school class. You just need to get where God will. Get rid of stuff that you don't need. Love God. Love people. You have to love people. You can find something wrong with everybody. As a matter of fact, if you get on your knees and get this altar and say to God, show me myself, God will show you a lot of things wrong with you. You don't know why people don't go to church? They don't want to hear what God has to say. All these excuses we give is a bunch of baloney. They don't want to hear what God's got to say. God says it all here. Abstain thyself from all appearances of sin. If it looks like it, I'd come in the door from school and I'd say, Mom, I want to know. She said, John, if it looks bad, smells bad, tastes bad, it's bad. Stay away from it. Amen. Mom didn't have time to fool. And she said, while you're at it, reach down inside your sock and get that pack of cigarettes out and throw them in the fire. Duh. Then I took up chewing. Spit here and spit there. First time my brother gave it to me, I felt myself. He said, what's wrong with you? You're turning green. Man, I mean, I think it was white mule or something. It was strong down in Kentucky where I grew up. But if you're going to serve God, you got to be willing to leave the trash behind. We're to clean up, not mess up. We're to help people get cleaned up, get right with God. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another fulfills the law. I had people ask me, owe no man anything. Does that mean you're not supposed to borrow money? No, no. If you sign a statement to get money, but you better make sure that you know you can make your payments on that house, on that car, on that new sofa, or whatever you're buying, amen? That means you don't owe it and not pay it. You pay what you owe. And if you can't pay what you owe, you got in trouble. You go to the man and say, I can't make my payment this month. Well, we're going to come take your car. Well, come get it. Amen? Be honest, be straight. People in church, not honest, not straight. I was in a church one time and talking to a man. When I gave the altar call in revival, everybody came forward. One man stayed in the back. As he went out the door, he looked like he was mad. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I'm a dentist. You see that lady over on the far right singing? He said, she owes me for the teeth in her mouth and she won't pay me. Hello? Hello? God knows how to get you in a corner. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affection one to another. Brother love and honor preferring one another. Preacher went to church one time and had a reputation for not lasting very long. The preacher had been there for 6 months, still going pretty good. Went a while, still going good. He went back and asked that guy. He said, did the other preachers not preach? He said, oh, they preached. He said, they preached hell like they enjoyed it. You preach hell like you hate it. That's why we love you. Be kind in how you present yourself and the gospel. I love you. I can see my wife, big tears run down her cheek, whipping one of our boys for chewing snuff. She said, I love you. He said, don't love me so much, Mom. You know, we got to do what's right, but we can do it in love. Amen? We don't have to enjoy somebody else's misery. We need to help them out. Agape is the unconditional love that the Father God has for us. There's nothing we can do to change how God feels about us. You know, you're never going to love. Remember what I said about the commandments? If you get that first one down, you won't have any problem with the rest of them. If you get this down, this love down, that God has, these little problems. God's great love. You can't love your wife like you're supposed to. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them, until you love God like you're supposed to. And when you love God like you're supposed to, it'll come. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said to his disciples, love ye one another. He didn't say go out and sacrifice. He didn't say do this, do that. Love one another. You get that love down, you got a lot of things down. I'm still feeding through my feeding tube. I'm gaining a little bit of ground. Looking good down the road. But when we first started this thing, Charlotte had never done this. I'd never done this. We didn't know how to do it. I didn't even know where to get the stuff to do it. Doctor just said you got to get a feeding tube. And we made a mess one day. I don't know whether it's my fault or hers, probably mine. She was mad. I got stuff all over me. I said, you know what we said, dear? For better or for worse. We both started laughing. We've never had any problems since. Got to love one another and realize other people make mistakes, but you'll not do it until you have the love of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. Boy, I tell you, that song we sang last Sunday, I love that. It's just like his great love. It'll make you do things. It'll make people see you different. They'll know you've been changed. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You didn't do one earthly thing. You will never do one earthly thing to deserve to be God's child. Outside of his love, you're just a hell-bound sinner. That's all you're fit for. That's all any of us are, dirty, rotten sinners. I hear people say, well, at least I never did do that. I say, what did you do? What did you do? Did you think it? I could just tear her hair out. Then walk by and say, hello, you big hypocrite. Right? And you know why? Because you don't have God's love. You need God's great love. 1 John 4:9-10. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice that. Didn't say saved, said live. It tells us another place, saved. You don't know how to live your life. I don't know how to live my life. I don't know how to be content, how to be happy. Every time I go by a gun store, I want another gun. Every time I go by the Ford lot, I want to buy another car. But I can be happy without it because I have the love of God. You have to have the love of God to live the way God wants you to live. And by the way, that ties in with teaching children. When they see you say, don't do this and don't do that, and you do it, they're going to do it. I remember when I was a little kid, I wasn't even in school yet. Did your mama ever put pennies in a handkerchief and send you to church? We didn't have much, but my mom would send us to church. My dad didn't go. And I'd come home, and Dad would have the paper all laid apart, and you couldn't find which part. The only thing I could do was look at the comics, and I wanted to do that. I said to Mom one morning, "Mom, I don't want to go to church. I want to stay home with Dad and look at the paper." She said, "You're going to church." I wanted to be like Dad. You send a lot of messages for what you do that will erase everything you say good, just like His great love. Mark 12:30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That inner part of you that's given life to you, that has to pump for God. And with all your soul, where you make your decisions, psychiatrists call it your ego. In there, where you decide. Decide every day, as others meant it. You know, some people simply don't get to church on Sunday because they didn't think about it on Saturday. Oh, I got this to do, and I didn't get that done. And my ox is in a ditch. You should have got him out on Saturday instead of going fishing or whatever you did. Amen? You got responsibilities, you do that. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. As a man thinketh, so he is. As a man thinketh, so he is. What the Bible says. Thou shalt love Him with all your mind. Your mind has to be consumed with things of God. Put Bible verses all over the house. Put them on your car or wherever. With all your mind. The Bible says, when we get saved, we now have the mind of Christ. We now can think. You have the ability, if you're Christian, if you got saved, God gave you the spiritual mind of Himself to think like He thinks and do what He does. I just can't quit this and I just can't quit that. You can quit anything. You love what you're doing. It's an excuse. And I haven't got into gossip and all the other crazy stuff. And then Matthew, he says it again, Matthew 2:37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." Back up there in verse 30 of Mark, he said, "With all thy strength, this is the first commandment." And I said in the beginning, if you get that first commandment down right, you'll not have any more problems with what God tells you to do and not to do. And God does say no, folks. God didn't answer my prayer. He said, yes, no, wait a while. Amen? God's not your servant. God, I hear people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God, whoa, you're not going to tell God anything. You're going to fall on your knees and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. For I am a wretched, undeserving sinner. God, saved by your grace, and that's the only way I could be here. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to get out of our ego into God's ego, and then we'll think like God and act like God. Husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. He tells us another place, let no root of bitterness spring up in you. The devil knows, listen, you decide, okay, I'm going to be in church. Every time a door's open, I'm going to read my Bible. The devil says, get after him, imps. Get after him, imps. He starts sending imps. And he puts a little root of bitterness, starts growing. She put too much cream in the coffee, or didn't put any. Whatever it was. It was nothing, but it started a little bit of bitterness in you. She left her car door open all night long. Stupid woman, I can't believe it. We find little things to disturb us. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and love their children. And you tell me how in God's name aborting a baby while a doctor or whoever crushes its head with forceps or however lay and let it die for lack of care, how that's loving a child. Well, it was an accident. No. You decided to lay with that person. You made a decision. You did it. And where is the man? That's his blood, his offspring. He should be there protecting that child. That's what the man's supposed to do. That's his job, isn't it? To allow, not to allow that. And Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. That's what will solve these problems, folks. And we close with that commandment. John 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And put the devil on the run. Give him notice. You're not going to sell out to him. You're not going to let him run your life. You're not going to let him destroy your marriage. You're not going to let him ruin your family. You're not going to let him ruin your church. We all have an invested interest in the church. It belongs to us and God. Therefore, we're protected from the demons. Paul writes much to him. Beware of those who creep in unawares and start destroying your church. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given me the privilege of being a pastor. Help me, Lord, to preach. Help me to lead, guide, direct, give direction. Lord, help me to go with my congregation, if it isn't always the way I like it, that I will do what the congregation wants. Help me, Lord, uphold me with thy spirit, thy love. Help me to do what I do in the love for thee and the love for the people. Our heads are bowed and the piano starts to play. We'll sing in a moment. The altar's open. Many of your problems will dissolve at this altar. You got a problem loving your husband, loving your wife. You got a problem loving the pastor. You got a problem doing what the church says, what God says. The altar's open, folks. Come one, come all. Seven is our hymn of invitation. Thank you for coming today. Don't forget this evening service tonight at 6:30. Pray our trustees have a meeting, and we have good men, our trustees, and they're getting the board organized and trying to get things caught up that have been neglected. They're doing a great job. You need to pray for them. And don't criticize any of them until you've prayed about an hour for each one of them. And I think that'll change your tune a little. Okay? Brother Bill, would you have a closing prayer, please?